Today on Key Life, a Christophany was there. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
That sounds interesting. If you were wondering, that was Steve Brown and I, Mike Kellogg. The program is Key Life. Relevant Bible principles without stuffiness and nonsense. Now here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Ezekiel as we continue with our Old Testament survey. This is one of my favorite prophets, and I love going into it. So we're going to take 2 or 3 weeks to spend time in the book of Ezekiel. Now, if you've been listening, we saw a general consideration overriding this book after we did some exegetical notes on this particular book. We saw in chapters 4 through 24, Ezekiel afflicts the comfortable, and in chapters 25 through 48, Ezekiel comforts the afflicted. That's what pastors are supposed to do, because that's what God does. If you're comfortable with who you are, you think you're pretty obedient, that you're trucking, that God ought to wake up every morning and be thankful that he has you in his service. If you think everything's cool because you're a part of it, then walk out. However, if you're listening to this broadcast and you're really down and you're broken and it hurts, you're going through a divorce or you're worried about your kids or you can't make the mortgage payment or you lost your job or it really hurts, you go to him because he comforts the afflicted. All right, and then we started digging into the actual book of Ezekiel yesterday. I took some time to read from the first chapter, which is Ezekiel, you know, the wheel within the wheel, and I want to break out in song when I read this particular thing, but I won't do that because I like you. Now you owe me. And the first chapter is just a magnificent vision that Ezekiel had of the awesomeness of God and the creatures that surround God. And I thought maybe today I'd go through that little bit by little bit, and we talk about the symbolism of it. But I don't think that's the point of this vision. I think the symbolism, there is symbolism there. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because I don't think that's the main point. I think the main point is the awesomeness, the bigness of God. And I think Ezekiel was going to be asked to do some really, really difficult stuff. And God wanted to impress upon him who he was, who God was. He does that for us, too. If God's going to ask you to do something really big, he'll reveal his bigness first. It's almost a principle that you can write down and chisel in concrete. If you're going to do something really big, you got to see God's bigness first, or you'll end up messing it up, bringing dishonor and shame on the name of Christ. And so I think Ezekiel, this is his calling. This is when God calls him to be a watchman. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later, but God says, listen, before I tell you what to do, let me show you who I am. Now, that's a pattern that goes on in the Bible. You remember Moses in Exodus? Before I tell you what to do, let me show you who I am. Who are you? Moses said, and he said, I am Yahweh, the covenant name of God, the God who was and is and always will be. And Moses said, I don't talk too good. He said, I'll send Aaron. Said, nobody's going to believe me. I mean, what kind of weird name is that? And God says, throw your staff down. And the rod of Moses became the rod of God. God showed Moses who he was before he told him what to do. He does that for us, too. He shows us who he is, and then he tells us what to do. And that's a good principle that you can write down. Now, let me show you a Christophany in this first chapter before we leave it. It's the last part of what I believe to be a Christophany. Let me start at the 26th verse, and I'm going to read down to the end of the chapter. This is what is written. And above the firmament, over their heads, all these creatures and stuff, was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also, from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw, as it were, the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around and within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face. I heard the voice of one speaking. Now, I believe that what we're reading here is not just a vision of God, but a vision of the second first person of the Trinity. Lots of places in the Old Testament, maybe with Jake, well, I'm not going to go into all of it, there are a lot of Melchizedek. There are other places in the Bible where you get a hint that something's going on here that you can't understand unless you're a New Testament Christian. In other words, when you read the New Testament, and especially the Gospels in the New Testament, you read about Jesus in his incarnational state. We read that he was tired, that he was dealing with his own self-definition at the temptations of Jesus. We read at the place where Jesus wept. We read at the place where he was lonely in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he came three times to his disciples and he said, "You guys, you keep sleeping. This is a hard time for me. I need a friend." And you just go to sleep. Your spirit's willing and your flesh is weak. You read in the place in the Gospels where they ask about when you're coming back. And he said, "I don't know. Only God in heaven knows." He began to see Jesus in his incarnate state, a state extremely human. And if you're not careful, you'll see that as all there is of Jesus, and it's not. It's not by a mile. Jesus is bigger. Remember I said yesterday that God is bigger than you think, and not only that he's bigger than you can think. Let me say that also about the second person of the Trinity. That Jesus is bigger than you think, and he's bigger than you can think. At the sound of the last trumpet, we'll see him as he is. And at that time, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess, and everybody will know that what you believed is absolutely and totally true. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "Before Moses, I am." You know what he was doing there? Listen, he was using the ancient covenantal name for God and applying that to himself. And so I think when Ezekiel saw this vision, and he saw one that had the appearance of a man high above this vision, I think he was looking at Jesus. Did you know in the beginning was the Word? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, everybody knew that. That's John, the first chapter in the first few verses. And that was not a very radical statement. The Word, everybody knew. If you were a rabbi, you knew. If you were a Stoic philosopher of Greece, you knew that too. The Word was the thing that held everything together. For the Jewish rabbi, the Word was the wisdom of God that created all that was. And then, I mean, that was the essence of God himself. And then John says something that is very, very radical and big. What is that? John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And so if you read the Gospels, God is whispering so we can hear. God is being kind so we can hear. He's being gentle so we can hear. He's identifying with us. "Do you cry?" Jesus cried too. Not to just keep you from crying, but to cry as you cry. "Are you lonely?" "Sometimes." "I am sometimes." Sometimes this kind of job is not easy because everybody thinks I'm spiritual and it separates me from other people. They think I know more than I do. Sometimes I'm lonely and then I'm quiet. And Jesus says, "I know. I was lonely too. Sometimes I'm afraid." "Are you afraid sometimes?" "I am sometimes." "I know that's sin." And I know what John said. He said that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but nevertheless, sometimes I'm afraid. And sometimes I go to Jesus and I say, "Jesus, I'm really scared here, man. Anybody that's not scared in this situation just doesn't understand the situation." And Jesus says, "I know, child. I know." And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is so good. That is so important. but you got to see him before he was in all of eternity before you see the awesomeness of what he became. Paul has wonderful imagery when he puts it this way. He who, though he was rich, I mean incredibly rich, I mean the owner of the cattle on a thousand hills, the eternal Son of God, the ruler, the King of kings, he, though he was rich, became poor, that by his poverty you might become rich. Isn't that great or what? But you see, if you only read the Gospels, you don't see the Christophanies in the Old Testament. You don't understand the first chapter of John, then the awesomeness and the power of it can escape you. Think I've told you the story before. The time that Joe Schaefer came running down the stairs at Christmas. Bill Schaefer travels with us sometimes. He's a keyboard artist. And the little girl was little at the time, jumped in her mother's arms, and she had a tag around her neck. And it said, "To Mommy, from God." That's what Jesus is. Not from God, but God himself entering time and space. Why? I don't know why. He just loves it, that's all. You think about that, I'm in. Hey, listen, if you haven't written or called about the magazine, I'd love to send it to you. The summer magazine is about the law of God. I wrote a piece called God's Gateway to Freedom. Then my friend Brian Chappell wrote a book, The Power of a piece called The Power of Joy from his most recent book. I mean, it's so good. There's a question and answer column. My itinerary's there. A lot of good stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ is your crowning achievement. It's free, and if you'll give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, you can do that 24 hours a day. Or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address. Ask for the magazine, it's free. That does not mean I don't have done written across my forehead that I'll turn down any contribution. This is a very expensive ministry, and you could help us. Oh man, you help your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I realize that most of you can't, but if you can, be as generous as you can. You can charge on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. And when you do, when you ask for it, I'll send you the cassette, How to Know That You Know Him. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.